Like, I know when we got something good to eat at home, Nader's made something good to eat at home because it gets real quiet, you know? All of a sudden, there's... and a pin drop. So, amen. Hallelujah. Well, we talked last week about Romans 5:5. Again, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. I'll kind of go over some scriptures here real quick and we'll land on one. And then 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but what? Power and love and of a sound mind. And so we know, and I talked a little bit about Wikipedia, you know, their definition of love is basically feelings, emotions. So again, love encompasses a range of strong and positive emotional and mental states, from the most sublime virtue of good habit and the deepest interpersonal affections to the simplest pleasure. So again, it's all about feelings, but often the word of God, and we see that God, every time that God associates with love, there's always action with it, right? And, you know, Mr. Gary was talking about, you know, Jesus, how did he love and things like that? Well, he died on the cross for us, right? He went out of his way to go heal people. And he fed people. This is interesting. You know, people, we say, well, he fed the 5,000. Actually, he did two miraculous healings, right? And actually, you actually read your Bible, and you'll find things that Jesus was teleported across the lake one time. It says that he was standing there, and all of a sudden it says, and he was all of a sudden with the disciples. It was like, how do you go from over here to all of a sudden with the disciples? That means that you were like that, translated from one spot to another. So there's little things like that we never talk about. And you're like, did I just miss something when I read the Bible? You know? Well, you're thinking, well, that's crazy. No. We see there that one of the... who is it? Not Philip, but Stephen. One of them in Acts was with the something in mind here with the Ethiopian, and then it was, and they said, and God suddenly snatched him away. So all of a sudden he ended up ministering to the Ethiopian there, one of the princes, and then boom, he was gone. God took him away. So you know, a lot of amazing things going on. But you know, Jesus fed people, he healed them, he encouraged them. Obviously, he gave his life for us. So everything that God talks about is love, is about giving. It's always about giving with no strings attached. The world is all about how it makes me feel. We just read there. Their definition is how it makes me feel. Ooh, I have this feeling and all of these feelings, right? And then Mr. Gray just talked about love God, love people, and change the world. That's what I was going to talk about too. But, awesome. Great. And so Matthew 28, verse 8. And I know I've hit on this several times before. We're going a little different direction tonight. But Matthew 24, verse 8. And I'm going to read out of the King James here in a minute. I'm sorry. It's just the way I like the way this is phrased in the King James. And so... so as you're turning there, you know... it's definitely important to love, but what are the drawbacks of not walking in love? Many people that I've seen over the years emphasize knowledge, revelation, being bold, or you know, being a leader. I laugh because we would have, hey, how to be a servant conference. Nobody would show up, right? Everybody wants to be a leader. How to, you know, or we're going to have a prosperity conference. Okay, great. What if I had a be like Paul and become naked and starved for the gospel's sake? Nobody would show up, right? Yeah, we didn't sell too many books or DVDs that way. but so again, Matthew 24, verse 8, it says, all of these are the beginning of sorrows. He's talking about the end times here, okay? And we definitely see this scripture portion of what's going on today. Hello? And then it says, verse 9, then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and they shall kill you, and they shall be hated of all, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. It's interesting because nowadays, isn't it interesting how we see these things where you see the world is so fickle. And we're just talking about hospitals and all these and workers. You know, last year they were such heroes and they were just so wonderful. And see, that's the world system. And see, it's love, the world's love and affection. You know, it was just, you know, oh, we're giving free tickets for people who are healthcare workers here. We're doing this for healthcare people. And blah, 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 blah. And they're just so wonderful. And they are. I mean, I'm sorry, but if your life depended on me drawing your blood and doing something, we're just going to make sure you're born again, and I'll see you on the other side, okay? Because, yeah, all right? You know, here's a scalpel. I have to do surgery on anybody. We're in trouble, really bad. So, but, yeah, it's just not my gifting. I'm just, you know, to me it's like Tylenol, aspirin. It all just runs together, you know. I hear all these things like ivermectin and all these other things, and I'm like, okay, I don't know, but I'll just take your word for it. But so last year this year they're awful, terrible. You know, if they don't do this or they don't do that or they don't take this, you know, jab or this or that, then they're awful, terrible, and we're going to get rid of them. Well, we just within a span of less than a year, we went from hero to zero. And see, that's the world system for you. Nothing's consistent. I love you today and I hate you tomorrow. And so then it goes on and it says, verse 10, then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. Now this word offended is used in another place, which means trap or ensnare. Trap or ensnare. Because really that's what offense is. It's a trap or a snare. And many people that are offended, they're angry with the other person. It's like me drinking poison and expecting you to die. It's never going to happen. It doesn't make any sense. So when I'm offended, and you ever notice too, you know, a lot of people that maybe you're offended with somebody, I mean, they're at home watching TV, eating big fat steak and relaxing with taters. Talk about taters, right? Steak and taters. Ooh, I better not. I'm getting hungry now. But they don't care about your offense. You ever notice that? They don't care. You can get mad, scream, and yell at the wall until the paint peels, but they don't care. You're the one that's being tore up on the inside. Then it goes on, they shall betray one another and shall hate one another. Verse 11, and many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many people. We've seen that, right? All of these people on TV and some, I mean, not all of them are bad. I don't want to say that, but like ministers, you know, when everything's feel good and wonderful and how your best life and everything else too, you know, it's all about sensualism and pleasure and making yourself feel good and everything. We're going to read some scriptures that kind of next is going to kind of derail that theory. But there's nothing wrong with, now there's one thing about having joy, right? And what was it? My girls came to me, or was it yesterday or whatever, and you said, who's the person that has the most joy? And who'd you say? Me. Right? You. Okay, you too. But the point is this, I live my life, I'm going to be happy no matter what. I'm going to have full of joy no matter what, you know? And it's really not something I try to manufacture. It's just something that I just have peace. And it just doesn't matter, right? Now, I'm not thrilled about what's going on in the world, but I'm going to sleep at night. And you should sleep at night too. So there's nothing wrong with having joy because I try to have joy all the time. Peace, you know, at our house, I try to have fun with the kids, and you know, we're having fun a lot. I mean, everything's lighthearted. We don't need to get, real heavy about life because, again, I mean, the joy of the Lord is our strength, right? That's our strength. If we don't have joy, we have no strength, and then we're going to be depressed. We're going to be, everything's awful, terrible. We don't want that. You don't need that in your life. Life's too short. Now, life's eternal. I mean, you know, we're going to have an even better time on the other side, but here it's like, it's too short. Why are we going to get upset or offended about these things? But, verse 12, and because iniquity shall abound. Now, what's iniquity? Iniquity is sin, right? The love of many shall wax cold. You ever notice that the sin level and the love level are just opposite? It's like a seesaw. The sin goes up, the love goes down. The love increases, the sin goes down. Because sin is all about self-centeredness. It's all really what sin boils down to. It's about rebelling from God, and you are the center of your own universe. Anton LaVey, which was kind of started up the satanic church. The whole emphasis was do as one wills. Well, that just means you're the center of your own universe, right? Who is that? Well, babies are like that. Little kids are like that. Me, mine, I, that's mine, that's mine, that's mine. And so, you know, when we get into adults, that's just iniquity. It's just funny. The people that years ago when I would play in bands and do different things and everything else too, all the people that were addicted to drugs were paranoid all the time. You can't trust them. It's like, did you take my money? Did you do this? Do this? No, I didn't take any of your money. Did you do this? Do this? They're just paranoid all the time. And sin will make you paranoid, right? It's like liars. They don't know which, they don't know, which lie they told to cover up that lie, right? Yeah. That's always a good idea. I'm going to lie my way out of it. Wrong. We'll just dig that hole a little deeper with each lie, right? So we know that sin and love are on a opposite continuum, right? When sin increases, love drops. What is sin? Self-centeredness, rebellion against God. It's all about me. When that increases, then love drops, right? But when sin decreases, love increases. Why? Because you think about the other person. Now you're concerned about other people. But he that shall endure unto the end shall be saved, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for all the witnesses unto all the nations, and then shall the end come. And I'd say this, iniquity or sin is all about often controlling other people. I mean, the devil doesn't really like to give you a choice. He pushes you. The Holy Spirit leads you. You know, the attributes of Jesus talking about the Holy Spirit in John chapter 14 and John chapter 16, he's a guide, he's a comforter, he's an intercessor, he's there in an ever-present time of need. He's always there for us, he's always available, he's comforting us, he loves us, right? The enemy is driving us. Jesus, just jump off this. Just turn these into stone, right? Just kneel down before me. Just do this. So it's just push. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Years ago, I had a talking about different things, just talking about bit and love. I was on a praise and worship team one time, one Sunday morning. Some people on the praise and worship team with me got upset and just walked off the stage. Didn't come back that day. Okay, it was interesting. Then I had a youth pastor years ago. Of course, he's been pastoring this church for decades now, but of course, I'm only 23, so it was just a few years ago. Right? No, I'm kidding. But a long time ago, but he was a great guy. And then, he just one day came, one morning in church, he came to church, all the instruments were gone, all the praise and worship people left, and then he was just there alone. Right? That's really nice, isn't it? Really, really loving. I mean, he led our praise and worship team back, when I was younger and played guitar and things like that. But the point is this, we don't, we think that stuff doesn't go on. This stuff goes in, unfortunately, that stuff goes on in churches. But we can get offended, and it can just cause a ripple effect through all kinds of stuff. New Living Translation here, 2 Corinthians 11. And this is really about Paul. And Paul is really, he's just tremendous example of you can go from zero to hero, right? You can be an absolute, it wasn't a heathen, but I mean, he was out persecuting Christians, right? Killing Christians, signing off on death warrants for Christians. Now go from that to God using you. Think about the mercy of God on that, right? You are basically Hitler to Christians, right? And then you turn around and become an absolute hero into the kingdom of God. Wow. I just don't think God can use me. Really? I mean, really? I mean, look at David's life. What a train wreck, But he's still, he goes from slaying giants to falling into sin and doing all these other things. And you talk about a dysfunctional family. Read about David's family. Horrible, right? But the Bible says he was a man after God's own heart. So, you know, either way, God can still restore us back. For 2 Corinthians 11:23, it says, are they servants of Christ? I know I sound like a madman, but I have served him far more. I have worked harder, been put in prison more often, been whipped times without number, and faced death again and again. Now, we'll just stop right there. How many people would have said, no, thank you. I'm done with this. I'm going back to my lazy boy recliner, and I'm going to click on the cable TV, and I'm going to check out, right? I mean, think about it. Whether or not you want to take whatever medication or whatever, but we're seeing people that are caving over the most ridiculous stuff, right? Can you imagine? I mean, there's going to be a day we see in the Bible in Revelation where if you don't know what they say, they're taking your head off, right? And you can't handle little bitty, oh, this little persecution. Oh, they're making me do this. Oh, they're making me do that. Well, buckle up, Bubba, because it's going to get worse down the road, right? Someday. And it goes on in verse 24, five different times Jewish leaders gave me 39 lashes. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Man, where do I sign up for this? Where's the sign-up sheet, right? But what are we seeing on TV all the time? Oh, you know, this is so wonderful. You become a Christian. All your problems melt away. It's so wonderful. You're going to have so much money. You're not going to know what to do with. Ah, it's just so fabulous. That's not Paul's walk here, is it? Not at all. Three times I was shipwrecked. Once I spent the whole night and a day adrift at sea. I mean, people flip out if they can't sleep on a Tempur-Pedic mattress. And Paul's out there floating along with the fish all night long. Hello? It was a waterbed. So, and then he says, I have traveled on many long journeys and I have faced danger from rivers and from robbers. I have faced danger from my own people, the Jews, as well as from the Gentiles. I have faced danger in the cities, in the deserts, and on the seas. I have faced danger from men who claim to be believers but are not. I have worked hard and long, enduring many sleepless nights. I have been hungry and thirsty and have gone without food, and I have shivered in the cold without enough clothing to keep me warm. And I've known people in churches before where they complain, well, that person's sitting in my chair, right? That little special chair sitting over there in the corner, right? It's hilarious because you look at statistics now, people, church, they obviously, you know, the music and the pastor and the message on these things, but other things are the chairs comfortable? Is there plenty of parking and a paved parking lot for me? Like, these are the main things, right? Are there lots of happy programs and everything? Yeah. And Paul is sitting there laughing probably right now going, this is ridiculous. Can I just back up here really quick? I had a real culture shock when I went to Africa, all right? And I was one night, first of all, while I'm teaching, it's like a big giant mud hut. I've already talked about it before. But there's no windows, there's like a few holes in the wall. It's over 100 degrees. While I'm teaching, a donkey comes through, right in the middle of me. I got a name in there. All right, great, right? And so then it downpours rain, and there's no concrete there, okay? Some of the main roads have some concrete, but literally some of the potholes are this deep, and they're probably like half the size of this room, you know? And I remember it downpoured one day, one morning, and literally you have to take your shoes off, carry your shoes, and trudge through mud, which are like ankle deep, just to get to the church where we're at, right? There is no happy, you know. And then I don't even talk about the toilet because you can't even breathe in it. You open it up and it's just like a wall of flies come out at you. But that's church. I mean, that's what you go to church, you know? And these people are often walking many kilometers to get to where they're at. And it's not safe for where they're at. Not safe at all. So, like I said, I mean, Vidar was there a couple times before I got there. He left the church. After he left, they came in and burned it down. The Muslims came in and burnt the church to the ground. So, you know, America's, it just, I mean, we're just, it's just laughable being here. You know, people are like, I can't make it to church. I can't do this. Really, because I had people that, you know, they got there and they walked several miles to get there. Why? Because they're hungry for the Word of God. What's the difference between Paul and many Christians today is because the love that Paul had. And we see here, too, that besides all these, I've burdened my concerns for all of the church. What kept Paul going was the love for people. That was the thing that kept him going, right? The love for people. I mean, can you imagine? I mean, I'm just thinking about things. For example, when he was taken, it says he was beaten with rods three times. When they beat him with rods, probably Paul's mentality was, okay, when I get down here, I'm going to go to Philippi or I'm going to go to Ephesus, right? That was probably his mentality. I mean, Hebrews, you know, 12, 1 through 2 says that Jesus, I mean, obviously it says he endured the cross and the shame because of the joy that was set before him. What was it? Us. So even Jesus was still operating in love on the cross. Why? Because he's like, I'm going to get through this because they're more important than my temporary discomfort. Right? That is love. Oh, I love it though. Right here, verse 28. Then, besides all this, I have the daily burden of my concern for all the churches, who is weak without my feeling that weakness, who is led astray, and I do not burn with anger. Paul had absolute revelation of, and there's books out there, and you know, talking about the revelation of righteousness. That's where Paul's revelation came in of understanding righteousness, and because he understood his position with Christ was not something that he earned, but it was something given to him. And so he was just a madman for Jesus, just going everywhere. And he took all this stuff. You know, Bob Jones, he had died a few years back and gone for a while, but he was more prophetic, you know, had, you know, seen heaven and had all these experiences. But one of the things that he had, back in the 70s, he had died and he was, had basically was standing before Jesus, and there's two lines. One line was, well, there was a line there, and Jesus asked everybody, did you love? Did you love? And all the people's responses, he said there's two lines, and only about just 2% of people were in the line about for loving people. Everything else was about, you know, everybody else's. The other line was about, you know, they said, well, you know, they were doing their own thing on Sundays. Or Saturdays. We guess we have Saturday night church. But but they were doing their own thing, you know, just, you know, doing the American thing. Just doing whatever, you know. But his whole question for everybody was, did you love? And I was like Brother Hagin's statement. We'll close with this, but he always says, how is this going to affect the other person? I was like that. You know, I can do this, but how is this going to affect the other person? Is this going to hurt them or is it going to help them? Or what does the Lord want me to do in the situation, right? Like Adrian was talking about, the groceries. You know, sometimes it's easier just to bluff that stuff off when people are really in need. I mean, I've been in situations too in the past where I need something, I'm believing God. I don't want that person to go, I'll just blow it off. Because I always think about this too. What if I'm the one and what the rules were reversed and I needed that and they weren't willing to do that for me? Well, this is a good place to stop. I've overstuffed the turkey again, and I'm talking about food. Uh-oh, I better stop talking about food. Amen. But there's a revelation, too, of when you understand the love of God in your life and how much God loves you. And, you know, usually angry people, been around angry people, there's issues there, reason why they're angry. But when you have a revelation of the love of God, it makes it easier to love people. Father, we just thank you for this time, Lord. We love you, Jesus, and we thank you for your love upon us, Lord, your sacrifice. The love is not about feelings all the time, emotions, even though it can be, but Lord, we know it's a decision that we make to follow and run after you and feed in to take care of your sheep and the people around us, Lord God. Lord, we thank you. God, I pray for myself, all of us, Lord, that we begin to look through the eyes of mercy with people, Lord, and compassion, to see their needs, Lord. And Lord, I'm just going to pray a dangerous prayer. Use us, Lord. Use us to touch people around us. Lord, to see people. Lord, and I repent tonight of not always being distracted, sometimes being distracted, not always looking for these things, but Lord, I pray that we begin to see people. And try to see where they're coming from, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. We begin to have your heart in us, Lord Jesus. And we bless you, Lord. We thank you. In your name. Amen. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Well, we've got, Thanksgiving next week. So everybody have a great Thanksgiving. No, we won't have it on Wednesday. Sorry about that. We'll let you guys know. We will not have prayer on this Wednesday because obviously things going on and so... amen. But we will see you on next Saturday. Amen. Yep. Amen. Hallelujah.